grow into tomorrow's action and then move Gura to the following day should the Devils stay in. Pitch, check swing outside. A ball and two strikes. But pitching depth means quite a bit in the tournament, and particularly in these two critical days. Because you could have pitched your best man, say, on Friday and had a weekend to rest and pitch him again like Texas did. But now what? Grounded foul. Off the plate, back to the screen as Valley's hanging in there. Breeze moving to straightaway center field. Old Glory giving us a wave as it moves towards Gurley Zoo. Here's the pitch. Outside and low, and Valley takes it. It's two balls and two strikes. Larry Gura in the on-deck circle. Renato taking plenty of time. Got a runner at first base and Jeff Osborne with one down. Here's the pitch. Swung out and missed for strike three. So Valley is out number two in the inning. That's the first strikeout by Bernardo, and the Red Men have only registered two. The other one was Craig Swan back in the fifth inning. So now the current pitcher, Larry Gura, steps in. And the first pitch to him is swung on a fly ball, fouled down the left field line, way back up in the bleachers. And it's strike one. Osborne led off with a single up the middle here in the eighth, but Lenny Randle popped to short center, and Valley has struck out, so the Devils have two down. And Larry Gura, the pitcher, is batting. Here's a call strike as he takes a curve, and it's 0-2. But I don't probably give him an outside pitch this time. We'll see. Right-hander ready, looks at Osborne, delivers way outside for a ball. One ball and two strikes. The Devils have but three outs to go for their second victory here in the series. There's a stretch by Bernard. Delivers to Gura inside. Throw down to Osborne. He gets away from him, goes in the center field. Osborne digging. Here's a pickup by the center fielder, Salek. The throw is not going to be made. He's just going to throw it into the shortstop, DeSarcino, and that might have been a very wise play. Larry Gura, the pitcher, is the batter, and it's two balls and two strikes. And had that throw gone over the head of the third baseman, Osborne could have come all the way home. So Osborne has a stolen base to second base. That is stolen base number four in this game by the Devils. Will go to third base on the bad throw. And Gura swings and misses for strike three. So Bernardo registers his second strikeout, and for the Devils in the eighth, no runs on one hit, no errors, and a man left. And the score at the end of eight complete innings of play, the Sun Devils of Arizona State, 4, the Red Men of the University of Massachusetts, 2. Top of the ninth. And for the Red Men, it'll be number 5, 6, and 7 hitters. Tom Semenov, who struck out twice and singled, takes two pitches outside as Gura is really rifling the ball. But he's missing, and it's two balls and no strikes. Semenov singled to right and then struck out twice. There's a pitch. That is a called strike as he was taking all the way. Right down to the nubbins for the Red Men. Semenov, close stance. Here's the pitch by Gura, swung out and fouled back up in the stands for strike two. And the count is even up. Sun a little more prevalent now. But everybody in the bleachers has coat or a sweater or something. Here's the pitch by Gura. Check swing. It's high and inside for ball three. Full count. And Gura again behind. He came in relief of Craig Swan in the seventh and got Stanford, the pitch hitter, to hit into a fielder's choice to retire the side. There's pitch, ball four. And for the second time in a row, he's walked the leadoff batter. Walk number two, given up by Gura. Semenov to first base, and Mitch Salnick, the batter. Hitless in three trips. Checks Dick Burquist at third for the sign. Gura checks Cotton for the sign. Now the peek at the runner. The pitch is a called strike as Salnick shortens up to bunch. brings Valley in on the grass and then pulls the bat back, but the ball caught the corner. Gurr with a stretch. Here it comes. Outside for a ball. No shortening up that time, and it's even up one apiece. Larry Gurr with the stretch. With the 1-1. Here it comes. Swung out and fouled up out of play to the right side, and it's a ball and two strikes. Paul Sulzicki on deck. Nobody down for the Red Men as they bat in the top of the ninth. They need two runs to tie. Gurr ready, delivers, swung out and missed for strike three. Stalnick took a curveball and swung feebly at it. It comes strikeout victim number two for Gurr, 10 for double pitchers tonight. He is out number one, and Sulzicki steps in, a single in three, himself a strikeout victim in the second. Shortens up the bunt, takes a called strike on the outside corner. Osborne holding the runner Seminole at first. There's the stretch by the left-handed Gurr. Here's the pitch. Just misses the outside corner, and it's even up at one apiece. Two more outs, and the Devils can take home victory number two in the College World Series and prolong their life here in Omaha. There's a pitch by Gurr, swung on and missed for strike two. And so Vicky not particularly happy with that swing. Gurr taking plenty of time. There's the stretch. Nye looks at first. Delivers. Swung on and fouled. Through his legs and back to the screen on the right side. The count remains the same. A ball and two strikes. 6 home runs in the World Series games thus far, which this would be the 9th or the 10th game. Here's the pitch by Gurr. Misses outside with a curveball, and it's even up 2-2. Bob Blakely of Southern Illinois, Eddie McLeody of Mississippi, those two hit in the same game, almost in the same place. Roger Whitaker, one for Tulsa. Here's the pitch by Gurr, swung on and fouled to the right side, out of play. Pat Brown and Dave Hill of Texas each hit one, and Bob Hansen of Massachusetts hit one in this ball game, and it was a dandy. Double plays, we have unofficially 16, of which Arizona State has 5, and they just missed 2. Here's the pitch by Gurr, swung on and missed. That's strike 3. Strikeout number 3 for Gurr, number 11 for Devil Hurlers. 2 outs in the 9th, and the Devils need but one more. 14, 10, Seminole still the runner at first base. He opened the 9th with a walk. And Tim Berenger struck out, grounded out, and singled to left. Here's the first pitch by Gurr. Misses inside with the ball. Gurr taking plenty of time, ready now. Dick moving in a few steps in right field. Pitch is across the plate but high, and it's ball two. And Billy Cotton really flails it back to Larry, saying, come on, come on, come on. Two down. Short lead at first by Seminole. Pitch by Gurr, swung out and missed for strike one. Gurr looks a lot sharper than he did in the first game. And we don't mean to demean him at all, because in the first game, as we've told you a couple of times, he only allowed one earned run. Here's the pitch, inside and low for ball three. But his curveball is breaking better today than it did before. But he still looks like he's attempting to work too hard. You have a tendency to aim the ball, you don't flail as well. Here's the pitch, called strike two on the outside corner, and the count is full. Well, Seminole will be going, and this could be the last pitch of this ball game. Gurr with a stretch and the peek at the runner. Throws to first. They have him picked off. Osborne running him down. Throws to Randall. Randall will tag him out, and the ball game is over. A beautiful defensive move by Larry Gurr as he catches Tom Seminole off, and the rundown will go 1-3-4 to end the ball game, and the Devils win it. We'll be back in a moment with a wrap-up of the game, but in the 9th for the Red Men, no runs. On no hits, there were no errors, and no men left on base. The final score, the Sun Devils of Arizona State University 4, the Red Men of the University of Massachusetts 2. Well, our post-game show here from Rosenblatt Stadium in Omaha, Nebraska, is brought to you by Schaefer & Smith Insurance Company, and they've got to be two of the finest Sun Devil rooters you ever know. As we mentioned a moment ago, in the ball game, Bill Schaefer is here, and they took the entire team out for steak dinners over the weekend. Gave him a little touch at home and a full stomach, because those steaks were absolutely delicious. And of course, they bring you the post-game part of our broadcast every game. So we'd like very much for you to give them a call, say hello there, we appreciate your sponsorship, and of course, you have any insurance problems, they'll be happy to take care of them for you. Well, the Devils have won it. The score, 4-2. For the Devils, they had 4 runs on 9 hits. They left 8 men, they had no errors and left 8 men standing. For the Red Men of the University of Massachusetts, they had 2 runs on 5 hits. They had 2 miscues and left 5 strands. Time of the game, 1 hour and 57 minutes. The official attendance in the neighborhood of 5,500. Winning pitcher was Craig Swan, who is now 9-0, undefeated in major college competition. He did, however, receive some help from Larry Gura, who came on in the 7th with 2 down. He allowed, from that point, no runs and no hits. He walked 2 and struck out 3. For Swan, he worked 6 2/3 innings. He gave up 2 runs and on 5 hits. He walked 2 and struck out 8. There were 2 men on when he left the ball game, but they got no further than where they were when they left. The losing pitcher will be the starter, Lou Colabello. He worked 4 2/3 innings, allowed 4 runs on 7 hits, didn't walk a soul, struck out only 1. Elliott came on in relief in the 5th inning, worked 1/3 of an inning, and then came on in the next inning to work the full inning for 1 1/3 innings, giving up but 1 hit and walking 1. And then Jack Bernardo came on in the 7th to pitch the remaining 2 innings. Bernardo, in the 6th, and he pitched the 7th and 8th. Since the Devils did not bat in the 9th, he gave up 1 hit, walked 1, and struck out 2. Well, that's about as good a game as the Devils have put together in this World Series, and a 4-2 score does not indicate a slaughter by any means. And most, if not indeed all, the action came in the 5th inning. Lenny Randle led off with a double down the left field line. Rick Vallee grounded out 3rd to 1st, and Craig Swan struck out. So with Randle at second base, there were 2 down. And as you say in this game, let's start it with 2. That's exactly what they said to Roger Dedder, who promptly tripled to left center. That, of course, scored Randle from second. That tied the ball game up at 1 apiece. And then Roger, who was standing on third base, watched Ralph Dick single up the middle to score him. And then John Dolinsek tripled over the head of the right fielder, Paul Suzuki. That also broke the team triple record. And then Paul Ray Powell decided that maybe they needed a little extra help, so he tripled up the right center alley to boot. So in that inning, they picked up 4 runs on 5 base hits, and 4 of those base hits were of the extra base variety, 3 of them triples, and of course, Randall's double to lead it off. That was the beginning. The Devils did get a hit in the 1st, 1 in the 2nd, 1 in the 3rd. They went hitless in the 4th, 6th, and 7th, and picked up a single hit in the 8th, Jeff Osborne's first World Series base hit. But he stole second base and went to third base on a bad throw, but could not score as Randle, Vallee, and Gura ended the inning. But the Devils have won it, 4-2. Hopefully, we still see him standing down there having a 7-up. Bobby Winkles could get up here to talk to you, but I know that at this very moment, he is thinking about the win, and he is very much considering Tulsa, because that's exactly who the Devils will play. They will play Tulsa regardless of the outcome between the New York University Violets and the Hurricanes of Tulsa, because that game is coming up in a moment, and the winner of that game will decide only when the Devils will play. So we cannot tell you that now. We can tell you they will play tomorrow. It will be at either 3:30 in the afternoon Phoenix time or at 6 p.m. Phoenix time. But we cannot tell you exactly which until the outcome of the game, which is not yet started. We'll be back in a moment, and hopefully with the Swift and Sage. But right now, we're going to pause 50-odd seconds for a Schaefer and Smith commercial.
This is CBS for Phoenix, KOOL, Radio 96.
Right. And I'm sure he's given us, and the fans down there, a little Swift Swift and Arkansas Lingalese there as he's telling him just exactly how he managed the Devils into that 4-2 win. Let us just very briefly, since there has been a lot of action since we were talking to you last on Saturday, let us just tell you exactly how this tournament has gone thus far. Texas beat Arizona State in the opener 4-0. And UCLA and Tulsa. Tulsa won in extra innings 6-5. Then Massachusetts surprised the number one team in the nation, Southern Illinois, by blanking them 2-0. And Mississippi and New York with the Violets on top 8-3. Then Arizona State played UCLA and beat UCLA 2-1 in extra innings. That was the last time we're with you. Southern Illinois and Mississippi played, and Mississippi came on strong to beat the Salukis 8-1 and send them packing. And then Texas and Tulsa played, and Tulsa beat the Longhorns 4-2 as Steve Rogers pitched 7 2/3 innings of no-hit ball, and the Longhorns scoring only 2 runs in the bottom of the ninth, but much too late as the Hurricane came on for a 4-2 win. Now Arizona State has played Massachusetts and has won by the score of 4-2. Texas this afternoon in the loser's bracket defeated Mississippi by the score of 14-1. So tomorrow, after Tulsa and NYU, New York University, play tonight, and they are the only two undefeated teams, then tomorrow, Arizona State will play Tulsa very definitely, whether they win or lose, and Texas will play New York University regardless of whether they win or lose. The only thing to be determined by this game tonight, other than, of course, how well you stand in the College World Series, will be for Arizona State who, when they play, not who they play. And if they, I believe it's set up now, we're not positive, if Tulsa wins, then the winner will play the night contest. So if Tulsa wins this game, our game will start tomorrow night at 6 p.m. Phoenix time. If indeed the Violets, who are far from shrinking, come on to beat the Hurricanes, then we will play at 3:30 tomorrow afternoon. Well, Robert Winkles is nowhere in sight, and we can understand it because he stayed with his charges through this whole weekend. He's worked with them. He's talked to them man to man, and we hopefully will be able to say at least hello to him if he gets here. But Nordy Jensen has got an eyeball out the door, babe. He's coming. He's going to beat it. But he's walking. In case you joined us late, the Devils won it 4-2. They did it with 9 hits, 5 of which came in 1 inning, the fifth, as they pushed 4 runs across and got them all right there. The Violets couldn't do much as here comes Coach Winkles on the dead run, out of breath, and we told them absolutely everything but the amazing success story of your 4-2 victory.
Well, Bob, it's pretty hard to get up here in 12 minutes, you know.
Robert, your theory backfired, not totally at all, because I knew you planned to use Gura in relief if you needed. Craig looked very good today, but do you think at all he might have gone the distance? I know you didn't want to take a chance.
No, because his shoulder started bothering him, and it was pretty obvious from down where we were. I know you're pretty far from the field, but it was quite obvious that his fastball had nothing on it in the sixth inning. I wanted to let him try to get through the seventh inning and then go with Crawford the last 2 innings so we could have Gura tomorrow. But as you know, Bob, there's no tomorrow when you got one loss.
Absolutely right.
And so we'll go all out we can to win this particular ball game and get here to play again tomorrow. Well, and we will be playing Tulsa.
Well, we know that, and we've so told the folks the only thing to be decided is the time, and if Tulsa wins, then you will play at night. If they lose, you will play in the afternoon.
They're both night games, 5:30 and 8.
Yes, 5:30, that's right. We suggested a possibility, and you can please set us straight, that you would go with LeGros tomorrow and then maybe save Gura, who only worked maybe 2.5 innings today, for the following day.
Well, that's very true. I have to think that over through the night, and we don't be surprised if you hear a name Hanson out on the mound tomorrow.
Okay. You had what you wanted, hitting today.
Yes, we had some of it, but not enough to suit me. We hit some balls good that were caught, Bob. In general, we got all our hits in one inning, and of course we came up with the big 4 runs with 2 men out, which is a break for us because you don't score 4 runs with 2 men out a lot. And Massachusetts was a better ball club than I thought they were. They played very well today. They did make 3 errors, but none of the errors figured in the scoring. And after seeing them last night, they played ragged, but today they played well, and we had our hands full out there.
Robert, we'll let you go. We know that despite the fact that there is a victory celebration of sorts for you, that you've got a lot of things to talk about, a lot of things to go over, and that tomorrow is another day, and you got to win that one, too.
I don't have much thinking about the lineup, but I've got a full night about the starting pitcher.
Okay. Bobby Winkles, thank you very much for that 12-minute run. He's going to lay right down there, I think, and rest for the rest of the year. We'll get out of your way.
Count those steps someday, would you?
The Devils win it 4-2. They play
297 steps.
297 pleasurable steps.
I'm 39. I ran it all the way. Kids, mothers, everybody.
The Devils won it 4-2. We'll be back tomorrow, and please keep tuned to KOOL because they will know, because we'll call them as soon as this game is over to let you know just exactly when broadcast time is. Bob Davies for Doug Gerlach and Norty Jensen saying so long from Omaha.